We want to return today to the Lord's Prayer in particular and the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer specifically. The Lord's Prayer is a beautiful prayer, as a model prayer. It has an introduction in two parts, Our Father in Heaven. In the first half of that, we learn of the intimacy that we have in Jesus Christ, to know God, the Creator of the universe, as our Father. As we have been adopted by grace into the family of God, we have that intimacy to come to God in prayer, that closeness, and yet at the same time recognizing that God is in heaven, and therefore we come to Him reverently as well. And then the first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer have a vertical or Godward reference. Hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. And yet that is not leading us to be so heavenly minded as to be of no earthly good. For Jesus tells us that we pray for these things to be so on earth as it is in heaven. And then the second three petitions of the Lord's Prayer have a horizontal or a manward reference. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. It's where we left off last time. And then today we want to look at the last petition. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. A reading from the cover of the bulletin, you have there the Heidelberg Catechism's explanation of this. The Catechism has already told us that prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness that God requires of us, and is leading us through the Lord's Prayer and explaining it. And some confusion exists regarding this particular petition, which will be the concern of the sermon this morning, and the Catechism addresses that when it asks, what does the sixth petition mean? And it answers by saying, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil means, by ourselves we are too weak to hold our own even for a moment. And our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, never stop attacking us. And so, Lord, note that this answer is itself a prayer, okay, so that you can actually pray this a part of the Catechism as a prayer. And so, Lord, uphold us and make us strong with the strength of Your Holy Spirit, so that we do not go down to defeat in this spiritual struggle, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. And then if you have your Bibles open, I'll be reading Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13, where Jesus articulates, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. 2 points simply this morning. The petition's meaning and the promise of Christ. The petition's meaning and the promise of Christ. This petition speaks of God's protection. The fourth petition, give us this daily bread, deals with physical needs. The fifth petition, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, deals with our spiritual needs. This sixth petition deals with our future needs. All right? Life is a spiritual minefield. As fallen sinners living in a fallen world, this petition is realistic. All right? It recognizes the dangers within and the dangers without. The devil, the world, and within our own flesh. And expresses the need for the protection of our loving Heavenly Father in order to navigate those minefields safely and successfully. The sixth petition confronts us with an apparent difficulty, however. What is the meaning of temptation here? When Jesus teaches us to pray, lead us not into temptation, what is the meaning of temptation? If God doesn't lead into temptation, then this petition is unnecessary. And yet, if God does lead us into temptation, then we have a question about what's going on there in our relationship with God. It implies that God tempts us to sin. But in order to clarify this, we want to use a clearer portion of Scripture to shed light on a less clear portion of Scripture, and so interpret Scripture with Scripture. So look with me momentarily, if you would, at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. A little bit further on, you have the epistles, book of Hebrews, and then James. James chapter 1 and verse 13. We're going to look at a few verses here, but in addressing the immediate concern. Verse 13 says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one." So we have a very clear passage of Scripture illuminating a less clear passage of Scripture and answering our question partially for us, in that God doesn't lead us into temptation to sin. However, it does not fully answer our question because we haven't gotten to the meaning of temptation yet then. Well, this can't mean that we're asking never to be tempted, because that would be impossible while we're still in our sinful bodies in this world. It can't mean don't lead into circumstances and situations that constitute temptations, because in order to do that, we would have to be removed from the world. The devil, the world, and our own flesh never stop attacking us, the Catechism says. It can't be God's will for us to escape by temptations by withdrawing from the world. That's Jesus very clearly tells us we are to be in the world in his high priestly prayer, John 17. But temptation is often multiplied. Besides, we're to be in the world. So what does this mean then? Well, there are three things necessary to note here from James chapter 1. Let's look at a few verses here. Verses 2, 3, and then 12, 13, and 14. All right? Look at James chapter 1, verse 2. "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." Trials. Verse 3. "For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." Focus word there is testing. Verse 12. "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial." Sounds like verse 2. "For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him." Verse 13, we read verse 14, "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires." These are all the same word. All right? Trial, testing, temptation, tempted are all variables of the same one word. We find then that there are two connotations or two alternate meanings for temptation as James uses the one word here. There are two different meanings. One is favorable in that it's a trial or a test of faith and shows forth the work of God's grace for our good and for our salvation. It's a testing, all right? The other connotation or the other meaning for the same word used alternately in these verses is unfavorable. That's of temptation. Temptation of our sinful nature for the destruction of the believer and for the dishonor of God. So first thing to note is these two different meanings. Second thing, verse 14, look at the text. "Each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire." So temptation, we have confirmed in addition to verse 13, comes not from God, but from our own sinful nature. And then third thing to notice here is nothing happens to us in this world except by the sovereign will and determination of God. There is no chance. Everything is by divine appointment. So as we look at James to clarify what's the meaning of temptation, when Jesus is teaching us to pray, lead us not into temptation, a little clearer picture begins to be formed. One, there are two meanings here for temptation. One is trial and test. The other is temptation from our sinful nature. Two, temptation doesn't come from God, but from our own desires, our own sinful nature. Three, nothing happens by chance. Everything happens by the divine appointment and design of God. Let's put those all together. God can and does frequently bring his people into circumstances and situations to test them. To test them. In those situations and circumstances, Satan may incite your sinful nature and tempt you to sin. So what is Jesus telling us to pray for then when he says, pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil? Turn back to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13. Matthew 6 and verse 13. The key here, with what we've learned from the clearer passage of Scripture in James, the key is found in the second half of the sixth petition. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. We have one negative, lead us not into temptation, one positive, but deliver us from evil. It is from the evil of temptations that we pray to be spared, that we not yield and be overcome by the sin. That's what Jesus is teaching us to pray here. All right? Jesus is teaching us to pray, be delivered from the evil of temptations, that we not yield or be overcome by sin or by Satan. Now, why? Why? A couple of reasons. One, God often permits Satan to assault and harass Christians in order to humble you. This, of course, happened with Job in the Old Testament, but more particularly, and in a different way, notably, I don't have time to elaborate on that, but very different, it happened to the Apostle Paul when he tells us of that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He tells us that he had a thorn in the flesh which was a messenger of Satan. And the reason, he says, was to keep him from becoming proud. So, God often permits Satan to assault and harass Christians in order to humble you, to drive you to himself, and to glorify himself by manifesting more fully to you his protecting power. Which is why James can say, consider it pure joy when you undergo all these things. Nobody would think that hardship and difficulties and dark providences of life are joyful. But when you understand the purpose of God in the midst of those things, as your loving Heavenly Father, He is in control of all things. Nothing happens by chance. He is so powerful, and yet for His dearly loved people, so loving that He controls all things for their good and for their salvation. So you can consider it pure joy. So God often permits Satan to assault and harass Christians in order to humble you, drive you to himself, and to glorify himself by manifesting more fully to you his protecting power. Remember, what we're praying for here is God's protection in the sixth petition. But secondly, any educational or training program includes periodic tests. Those of you that are students, whether you're in grade school, high school, or college, or whether you're in technical school, vocational school, any educational or training program includes periodic tests. Why? To determine what progress, if any, has been made. And the experience of taking, and assuming good students, taking and passing those tests can be very encouraging to a student. That you've actually learned something, that you've actually learned a particular topic, a particular subject, or a particular ability, all right? That you're encouraged when you pass that test. Well, in God's program, for the spiritual education and growth of Christians, it's the same. God tests you to prove you and show how far you've progressed and, specifically, how he's protected you throughout. And that's the point of the Heidelberg Catechism's lesson here. Uphold us, Lord, and make us strong with the strength of your Holy Spirit, so that we may not go down to defeat in this spiritual struggle, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally, in glory, win the complete victory. So the Lord tests for your well-being, for your progress, for your growth, and for your encouragement to show you how he's protected you. But secondly, there's a promise here, and we'll look at this more specifically and more elaborately next time, but I want to encourage you with a promise of Christ here. Look at 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. Now, if you look at the superscription, that is the bold letters above verse 1, you see this is a warning against idolatry. Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church, which was particularly facing the temptation of idolatry, as well as numerous other sins. And Paul warns them from the history of Israel not to be like Israel, that fell prey to the wiles of the devil and fell prey to the temptations and lusts of the flesh. And let's read this so you get the context. For I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, talking about the exodus of Israel out of Egypt. And all ate the same spiritual food, they all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. They succumbed to temptation. They were filled with unbelief and disobedience. And Paul says, now these things took place as an example for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Where does temptation come? Temptation, James says, comes from our own evil desires. All right? Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. God does not have a boys will be boys attitude. All right? Verse 9, we must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. Now listen, there's the context. Paul says, I'm warning you. Learn from Israel. Learn from their history. Learn from their succumbing to the desires of their flesh. Learn from their falling prey to their temptations. Learn from them how they fell prey to the wiles of the devil. And don't be like them. Why? Because you in Corinth, you in New York, are going to be faced with similar temptations. You're bombarded with messages of sexual immorality every single day. You are surrounded by idols every single day. Very different from the idols of Corinth, but idols nonetheless. And be careful. But God presents to his people a promise here. Look at verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. You know how many times as a pastor I've heard somebody say to me, you don't understand, Pastor. Well, I may not have walked in your particular sinful shoes or your particular sinful pattern of behavior, but I understand because the Word of God tells me that no temptation has overtaken you that is not common. You're not unique. You're not the only person. You're not the first person that ever experienced that. It's common because we're all sinners. Paul goes on, look, God is faithful and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. He won't. He won't. If you're a child of God, if you're bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, been reconciled to God, cleaved to His breast by His loving embrace in Christ, then He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. You can withstand it. You can resist it. Why? Look, but with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Listen to me. Jesus told His disciples, pray lest you fall into temptation. So we pray the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, uphold me and make me strong with the strength of Your Holy Spirit so that I don't go down to defeat in this spiritual minefield which is life in a fallen world, but may firmly resist the devil, the world, and my own sinful desires until I win finally the complete victory. Listen to me. We're going to learn at the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer what that little word, amen, means. It's question 128 in the Catechism, if you want to skip ahead and get a little advance on that. What does that little amen mean? And you and I as Christians are very used to amening our prayers to God. You know what this promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13 means? God adds His amen to your prayer. God adds His amen to your prayer. God promises you. Listen, look, don't take my word for it. Read the text. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. Who is God? Is the question. Who is Jesus Christ? Who is my Savior? Who is my Lord? The most important question. And He's faithful, Paul says. Believe Him. Trust Him. Lean on Him. Look to Him. Pray to Him. Hear Him. Heed Him. He's faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. Yeah, that temptation will come, but He'll also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. What is it? Is it the idolatry of the approval of men? Are you a prisoner to other people's thoughts of you? What do they think of me? What's your idol? Is it beauty, vanity, spending hours in front of the mirror primping and prissing? Is it money? Is it wealth? Is it drugs? Is it partying? Is it drinking? What's your idol? Is it sex? Is it MTV? Is it, name it, fill in the blank. God is faithful. He amends this prayer. Pray lest you fall into temptation. You pray this prayer, and here's a promise from the faithful God in whose image and likeness you're made. From the faithful God who bought you with the precious blood of His own Son, Jesus Christ. And He amends that prayer. He'll keep you strong so that you don't go down to defeat, but that you firmly resist. More on this next week. Let's pray.